Hello and welcome to Warrior Diaries podcast, where we explore wellness and self-healing for women over 40. My name is Fiona Mze and I'll be your host. Today we're talking about mindfulness and meditation, and my guest is Karina Grant. When her father was first diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2005, she searched for ways to help his symptoms and discovered energy healing. After seeing the immediate positive effect the treatment had on his health, she decided to explore energy healing therapies fully in order to be able to help him herself. The profound results from their healing sessions led her on a fast-track journey into exploring the most powerful healing methods available in the world in order to help others. Her passion for proactive natural health care inspired her to teach these easy-to-learn techniques to as many people as possible through workshops and private sessions. Hi, Karina. Thank you so much for joining our Warrior Diaries podcast. I'm really excited to have you here.
Such a pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
So before we start, could you tell us a bit about yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. So in a nutshell, I was raised in a very kind of, not alternative, but very open-minded house, in that my parents introduced me to a lot of this kind of stuff when I was a teenager. They used to go on Louise Hay style workshops and bring me with. And so I really had a very good foundation for law of attraction, a lot of metaphysical teachings. And later on, I then, in my early 20s, my parents also took me on some Anthony Robbins seminars. So I was very blessed with that. And that really was giving me a strong foundation of what the mind can achieve, because we did some pretty fun things like walking over hot coals. And that was the first time I learned that the mind could control pain. So I really had that foundation from my early 20s from Tony Robbins. Then later on, in 2005, my father was diagnosed with a very extreme aggressive form of Parkinson's disease called MSA. And I just intuitively, I felt there was some, you know, there was going to be ways we could help him other than just nutritionally. And I just Googled healing, because that was what I felt drawn to, the word healing. And I found something called Quantum Touch, which is a healing modality that I now teach. I jumped on it the next day because it really resonated for me. It was about breathing and visual awareness techniques, and just didn't require you to have any type of initiation, or it was very, very sort of down to earth and grounded approach to healing. And it really, really piqued my interest. So I jumped on a workshop, you know, the next day, and then I went and worked straight away on my dad and practiced on him. And one of the symptoms is that people of MSA and of Parkinson's is people are very hunched over, and the spine is really curved. And I worked on him for quite a while and said, "Will you be my guinea pig?" He said, yes. I worked on him. And what we saw was incredible, was his spine started to straighten out. I remember my mum said to me, "What on earth are you doing?" And I said, "Honestly, I haven't got a clue. I went on a workshop. I've learned these techniques, and I've just come home, and I'm using them. I really don't know why this is happening, but it is." And so we were just amazed. And after that, I decided, well, I need to learn everything I can about healing, about energy. And so I did. And I knew straight away that I wanted to be a practitioner, because, and an instructor, because it was so easy to learn. And I thought, gosh, everybody needs to know this. It's an incredibly important skill to have, to be able to help our loved ones and ourselves. And it's easy to learn. So that was my first healing session that I ever gave. And after that, I thought, well, I should see if this is just a connection between my father and I. So I worked on other people, and equally saw that the body was, if you gave it the right kind of conditions and that kind of nudge with the healing, things would really return to balance a lot more easily than we might think. So that was my initial introduction to it. And some months later, my father's diagnosis was changed from MSA to just ordinary mild Parkinson's.
Wow. Okay. And were you able to provide some further relief for your father?
Yes, we did loads of sessions, and many of the symptoms that people with Parkinson's have, like tremors and shakes and things like that, he just did not have. It was incredible.
Wow, sounds amazing. I must admit, I'd never heard of it until I came across your website. So how long has Quantum Touch been around?
Quantum Touch has been around a long time now. Richard Gordon, who's the founder of Quantum Touch, he's been in the energy world since the 70s at least, and it's been around since the late 70s.
And would you say a lot of this is to do with the mind and how we view things in terms of our healing?
A lot of healing is hugely about the mind, definitely, and our perspective, how we view things, absolutely, and changing perspective. I 1,000,000% agree with that. But specifically with Quantum Touch, the aim of the game is really quite simple. So we use specific techniques to raise our vibration, our energy, to a much higher level through the breathing, the visual awareness, and all different techniques within the modality. Now, once the practitioner raises their energy to a very high level, what happens automatically is the client will then mirror, or entrain is the official word, but that means mirror the energy of the practitioner. So they will match the energy of the practitioner, which means that their energy goes up as well. And what then happens is their innate healing system or immune system or, you know, blueprint for health, whatever you want to call it, naturally falls into place and starts getting things going back in balance. So in Quantum Touch, we never call ourselves healers because it's the client's body that readjusts everything and goes back into balance. All we do is hold a space, a high healing space, for that to happen. It's very much like women who will share dorms or all live together. Biologically, they end up synchronizing and they get their period at the same time. It's really quite a common thing. What's happening there is biological resonance and entrainment. The women are all harmonizing. And this is one of the laws of the universe, is that anything of a similar nature that comes together in the same space, they will end up resonating together. And so that is basically the foundation of Quantum Touch. Is if I raise my energy to a high level, the other person, the client, will naturally entrain to that. Then their innate healing system kicks in. So it's a very simple but very clever way of working with universal laws of nature, really, to really stimulate a powerful healing response in the body.
Can this be done virtually then? Does it have to be in person?
Yes, it can be done virtually, which has been such a blessing during this last year, really. Energy follows thought. So whatever you are thinking about, you're sending energy to. So that means if I set an intention that the energy is going to go to someone who's not physically in the same space as me, it is just as powerful. So we do lots of distance healing, and all the workshops have been done over Zoom, and people who've never worked with energy before, some have, some haven't, are in breakout rooms together, giving each other healing, having never met, not hands-on, and having incredible healing experiences. So yes, absolutely.
Wow, that's amazing. I can't imagine a Zoom session with breakout rooms where you do healing. That's amazing.
It really is, I have to say. And we've got, you know, I used to, before COVID and lockdowns, I was always teaching live events. And then we moved everything onto Zoom when, you know, in the first lockdown. And what happened as a result of that is people from all over the world started joining in the groups. Whereas, you know, before I would have people fly in, definitely, but not, you know, the reach is not as big as having a Zoom. And so now we've got people, you know, from all over different countries tuning in, and some are very experienced with healing and some have never done it before, and all are able to have just as powerful a session as if they were hands-on.
Amazing. Now, I wanted to move to Hai Chi Integrated Institute. Can you tell us what that's about, please?
Yes, definitely. So after about 10 years of being a Quantum Touch advanced instructor, I decided I wanted to create an umbrella, if you like, to bring all the things that I had seen work most profoundly under one roof. And so I created the Hai Chi Integrated Health Institute. And the intention is basically to create a space where people can find really easy to learn techniques for mind and body healing that create powerful results. And so I started that and moved my Quantum Touch workshops under that kind of umbrella, but it's really evolved. And there's another modality that I teach called permissioning and transformation, which is also offered within that. But as well as that, and I'll talk a bit more about that, as well as that, what we've kind of done is, I say we, it's, well, I started it. My husband is a web developer, so I like to say we, because he's had a big hand in the website. What we've done is create the Hai Chi mindfulness phone line as well, which is the first mindfulness phone line in the UK under the Hai Chi umbrella as well, which I'm very excited about that, because during lockdown, I really was really, really tuning into the fact that there's so many people who don't have the internet, and we kind of assume everybody does and everybody's got access to all these online tools, and it's just not the case. There's many young people and elderly people and all ages in between who don't have access to apps, even smartphones necessarily. So I've got a mindfulness collection and I put it onto a phone line, which is basically if somebody has 3 minutes included in their tariff, then it will be entirely free for them. So people who don't have access to too much technology can phone up and still benefit from the mindfulness meditations. And what I didn't realize was just how many charities would get really excited about this. It was incredible. Within the first kind of week of launching it, I had several charities doing some incredible work with people, getting in touch and saying, can we share this with people? And even a hospital in the Middle East getting in touch and sharing this with people who are isolated. So it was really, really overwhelming how quickly that kind of got spread and shared with people. And Hai Chi itself for me is, it's Hai Chi means high energy. So basically anything that I can offer and bring together in all the years of teaching that's going to increase people's energy in any way can be found on that website. So that includes Quantum Touch, permissioning and transformation. We've got quite a lot of audio meditations on there, and another course called Self-Healing Mastery. So it's growing all the time, but it's really a central space for people to access tools that really will make a positive difference to their life.
Yeah, I love the, I've tried the permissions and transmissioning, which I love. But before we carry on, Karina, I wanted you to perhaps explain to people who are not familiar with mindfulness and meditation. Is there a difference between the two, or do they bridge? Are they this kind of similar thing?
Well, there's many different styles of meditation. And one of them is mindfulness. You know, you can have guided visualization, which is a style. There's many different ways to meditate. Mindfulness is simply paying attention to what's arising and happening in the present moment. So just being aware of what's happening in this moment, and often that can be through our senses, just by becoming aware of the sounds that we're hearing, the smells that we're smelling, and really, really engaging with our senses. And what that does is by default brings us very much into the body, which slows down the thoughts. So that in itself is a wonderful thing, because the slower our mind is, the more relaxed we are, our breathing also will naturally slow down and relax more, the more mindful we are. So mindfulness is very much about observing without judgment what's happening in our mind, what's happening around us. And it's an incredibly useful tool for mental health, for physical health. There's been some amazing studies about the benefits of mindfulness. And meditation in general, whether you prefer guided visualizations or any of the different styles of meditation, all of them have wonderful benefits. So we've got various different meditations that people can try. And really, it's what makes you feel good and uplifted.
Yeah. Because I think sometimes people get, when they hear meditation, they think, you know, sitting in silence or sitting in a lotus position for, you know, hours on end. And I guess that's a misconception, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's, you know, yes, for some people, it will be sitting, you know, on a mountaintop or imagining that you're on a mountaintop cross-legged, but not necessarily. You know, one of my meditations is called Lunchtime Reset. And it is literally a 7-minute meditation that someone can plug in and listen to at their desk at work, just to bring them back into the present moment and allow them to reset for the afternoon. So now I've got quite a lot of companies who have given their staff a login, and it's available to the whole company. So the culture is changing, which is wonderful. And people can just do it at their desk if they want, or on lunch break, go out for a few minutes and have a listen to it. I think people are a lot more aware now of the importance of mental health.
Yes, definitely. It's come a long, long, long way. I mean, my own father suffered with mental health issues when I was a child, and this was back in Uganda, and we didn't have any services at all. So I mean, the difference between even in Uganda now, things have moved on quite a bit, but times have changed, and I think it's far less stigmatizing now perhaps than it used to be. So I'm always excited when I hear of different tools and techniques to help people. But talking about mental health, do you think women tend to be affected much more with things like depression and anxiety as they reach the menopause or perimenopause?
I think people become aware, women become more aware, things become much more heightened at that time anyway, but not necessarily. I've had a lot of women who are younger who experience mental health issues and all kinds of desires to just balance the mind of all ages. And I wouldn't say it's just women. I think we are generally more aware of what we're feeling, particularly around hormonal times. So just being allowing ourselves to feel more gives us that intuition, and that I think can be channeled very positively, feeling our emotions that deeply. But I will say, yes, I get people of all ages, women of all ages coming on different workshops, but there is definitely something to be said for the fact that a lot of 40 plus women do come on the workshops.
Out of curiosity, since COVID started last year, have you noticed a difference in demand from families or people struggling at home, trying to homeschool, and all the challenges that come with that? And do you find that more families are looking for ways to manage emotionally and mentally?
Very much so. The demand's gone up a lot more. People that may have previously been on the fence about whether they wanted to try a bit of healing or learn a skill that they could use themselves to help themselves and their family, really got off the fence and thought, no, I want to go, I want to try this. Now it's so available on Zoom, you know, and all this has opened people up much more to accessing this kind of learning. So I think that lockdown and COVID has definitely increased people's intentions and desire to have a greater sense of well-being, definitely.
Yeah. And how can mindfulness and meditation be introduced into the family and, you know, include teenagers and young children?
As a family, doing
as
it
a family.
As a family. Yeah. Yes. This is exactly what I had as a child. My mum would do guided visualizations with me when I couldn't sleep, and just really introducing it from the youngest age is the best thing if it's possible. And doing this as a family, the other thing is that healing should be fun. I very much believe that, you know, the more fun we're having, the happier we are, the more the energy's flowing. And it's good for our minds and our body. And so all these practices can be approached with a lightness and with a playfulness. It doesn't need to be a serious thing. And our greatest teachers are looking at children and the way that they are so in the moment, they are so present naturally, and they are so willing to have fun at all times. And so whenever I teach healing, I always say, bring out your inner child, or look around you at any children that you can see to see, observe how easily they are able to just be light and playful with it. And when we bring that approach into our well-being, it flows much, much more.
Can we talk about permission and permissioning and transmissions?
Yes, sure. Permissioning and transformation is a set of techniques which is very, very powerful at bringing the mind into a state of stillness very quickly. And it's easy to learn. I use it a lot with clients, and you yourself have attended the monthly webinars, because it can be applied to any topic. So it's a very specific set of techniques which then allow the mind to create a space where it can calm down and see new perspectives. It is extremely unique. I absolutely love it. I have used it with fantastic success with many, many different types of scenarios. But really, the success of it relies on people using it regularly. So what I do is I teach the process to somebody, give them a set of permissions to go away with, and they then practice it on their own every day. And what happens is over a matter of quite a short period of time, but over a few weeks, people start to view the challenges completely differently. And it becomes a very life-changing tool, because when you know, that wonderful quote, when you change the way you look at things, things you look at change. And so I'm about to launch a permissioning for sleep and anxiety online course, which I'm very excited about. One of the things, and I didn't know that this was going to happen, when I started teaching permissioning, I had no idea that when people practiced it, it would put them to sleep so easily.
You
know what I mean, because you've had webinars. It knocks people out into this really deep state of sleep after a while of doing it. And after I'd experienced that with quite a lot of people, I thought, I had no idea this was going to happen, but this is actually turning into a sleep course, because I've never met anybody who didn't fall asleep after doing this. Actually, I had one person in one of the workshops who was just struggling to keep his eyes open, because it takes you into a really deep state, a very, very deep state. And so there's a sleep course coming out, which is exciting, and also an anxiety course. But really, the key is in the title. It's called Permissioning and Transformation. And it's very much about giving the mind a choice. So giving the mind permission and really creating a space where there is no force, there's no coercion, There's no trying to get yourself to do or be anything or put any pressure on yourself. We, through the process, you take yourself into a really serene state of stillness very, very quickly. And from that space, using language in a very specific way, you're able to really shift perspectives. And it's very subtle work, but it's very profound work as well. I've used it with clients from anything from anxiety, high stress. I've certainly used it with a lot of people during COVID who were very stressed about COVID. In fact, we did a free webinar for key workers at the beginning of the first lockdown in England. We had a lot of people on the call doing a lot of permissions for all the things associated with what's happened and what's happening. So anything from that to success, to relationships, I've even used it with people who are overdue in labor.
Have you?
Yes. Well. And so what happened was, and this is really, really, it was really wonderful. I had a client who was part of a community of women, a very, very tight-knitted community. And this client was overdue. And she was really, really stressed about it because the midwife had told her that she'd need interventions. Not only she was overdue, but the baby was breech. And so I gave her two or three sessions where we really, really brought the stress level down. And after a week, she said to me, you know, I still feel a bit stressed. I said, carry on, just carry on with it. Anyway, a few days later, I got a text from her saying it was the baby turned naturally, no interventions were needed, and it was the most incredible birth she had had. And this was her eighth child, so she really did know the difference.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, what happened after that was fascinating. Word spread in their community about this. And I started to get lots of phone calls from women about to go into labor or who were about to get to their due date, wanting to learn these techniques to use in birth.
Amazing. And so
it was incredible. Suddenly my phone was ringing, you know, from all these women in the same community saying, I heard what happened with this one. Could you help me? So I started to have a fair amount of clients who were stressed about birth. And that was really amazing to see just what happens. I mean, there's no greater testimony into the link between the mind and the body when you see the profound effect that taking yourself into such a state of stillness has on birth. It's incredible.
That's amazing. And did you say you're going to have, you're going to introduce a sleep version, a guided one?
Yes. So that's going to be launched within the next month. And I'm really excited about that. So many people have sleep issues this year. I mean, it's a big thing anyway, sleep, for a lot of people, but particularly with all the stresses of COVID. So I'm excited about that because sleep is the foundation of everything. You know, you could do all the healing in the world, but there are certain things that are the foundation, you know, water, sleep. And if you're missing a good night's sleep on a regular basis, that does have an impact on your mental health, on your physical health. And so I feel it's the foundation. If you get your sleep right and you're able to wind your mind down really, really deeply before sleep, the quality of your sleep completely changes.
Talking about sleep, Karina, would you say, though, we or people generally aggravate things by maybe spending too much time watching TV or have too much screen time on the phone? Does that kind of make things worse?
It does. It does. I definitely agree with that. Switching off screens a significant time before bed helps. There's lots of little tips that can help. But ultimately, the one thing that really disturbs sleep very much is an overactive mind and a mind that is busy all day. And then you lay down in bed at night and it's the first chance you've got to kind of assess everything and all the worries come up. That's a major hindrance to sleep. So knowing how to calm the mind and create space for a new perspective to arise is really important. And so what I found when I was making the sleep course, and I did a pilot study with people with sleep issues and really spoke to quite a lot of people about what their issues were with sleep, was that it wasn't just about falling asleep at night. Some people actually had an aversion to going to bed. People with serious insomnia had a fear of going to bed because they felt, well, what's the point? I'm not going to sleep anyway. So they would dread going to bed, just all kinds of different issues that were associated with sleep, worrying about their dreams, or even feeling like they deserved a rested body, clenching the jaw, feeling safe in a bed, all these external but yet very deeply connected issues. It wasn't just about having a relaxed mind. And so I created within the sleep program audios to address all of those issues as well, so that those habits could also be changed and altered. And then it was very much a nighttime course. And what occurred to me after that was, well, what happens when you wake up in the morning? What about the day? You know, because people who are sleep deprived often will have anxiety as well. And so then it led into a daytime course. We've sorted out the night, let's sort out the day. And so I created the anxiety relief course, which is, I'm very, very excited about that as well, because I've worked with a lot of people with anxiety. And if you use it, if you listen to the audios, they make a really, really profound difference to people's lives. So I will say it's not a one-hit wonder. It's not just, well, listen once and then you're sorted. It's like this wonderful, subtle change that happens over a period of time, but lasts and stays. And what happens is, because it's such an enjoyable process, and you know because you've done it, you end up wanting to do it. You actually look forward to doing it each night and each morning, because you know, even if it's for 10 minutes, you just feel, I'm about to really drop into a very calm state. And so it becomes something that is very anchoring for the day.
And could children use this as well?
Yes, they can. I've taught my kids. They're 4.5 and 6.
Amazing.
And they use it, and they laugh a lot when they're using it. They find it brilliant, but it just works for them. It's fantastic.
I love the fact that you incorporate all this stuff to include the family. Like you said, I think it's the idea of it, making it fun, perhaps, and demystifying a lot of the...
Yes. That's right. It needs to be fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun, who would, you know, it's, there is this real misconception that healing and energy work and well-being is it's a very serious thing. And the more you can be light and playful, the better our health will be.
Yeah. So say someone wanted to start, where would you recommend they start? Because I know you have the Mindful Collection, which has the shortened version. So, but if someone is new to all of this, where would you suggest they start?
Well, if you just want to experience a little bit of mindfulness, then there's the Mindfulness Collection, which is on the Hai Chi website. And if you want to go deeper, and it depends what you want. If you're looking for a still mind, permissioning and transformation is incredible for that. Really, really incredible. If you're looking for techniques for physical healing that will happen, just it's like having a first aid kit with you all the time in your hands, then Quantum Touch is fantastic for that. Particularly for aches, for pains, for balancing bones, it's very well known for. So for me, I wouldn't be without any of it at all. In terms of where you start, it depends what you're looking for. A lot of people looking for body healing, physical, that, you know, physical healing will come to quantum touch, and that will also have a very positive effect on your emotions, because the two are mirroring each other. And people who are more looking for that sort of stillness and just dropping into a state of awareness will come for permissioning. And it is a meditation in itself, and it bypasses a lot of years of training. You drop into very experienced meditators will come on permissioning and say, oh my gosh, I've just gone so deep so quickly. It really knocks the conscious mind chatter out the way pretty quick, as you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. Before we finish, Karina, I just want to ask if there's one thing or lesson you'd like listeners to take away.
Yes, definitely. There's so much we can do for ourselves. And just to have that awareness that we have a lot of personal empowerment and the power of daily practices. I think it's so vital for all levels of well-being, just to know that there are tools and techniques that if we use them regularly, they make a dramatic difference to our quality of life and our health.
Fantastic. It's just habit, isn't it? It's just getting into a habit.
Exactly that. Habit. Yeah. Building a habit.
Yeah. Amazing. I've really enjoyed talking to you about this subject. Where can people find you? Your website details.
They can find me by going to Haichi, spelt HICHI-life.com.
Fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to the sleep edition you're going to be releasing soon. Will that also be on the website?
It'll be on the website and on the app.
Okay. And also, do you have any social media handles, Facebook or Instagram?
Yes. You can find me on Facebook. If you type in Haichi Life, then you will come up.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Karina. I really enjoyed this.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining me this week. To view the complete show notes and all the links mentioned in today's episode, visit www.awolidarespodcast.com. That is awolidarespodcast.com. And before you go, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they're released. And if you enjoyed the show, I'd appreciate it if you shared it with friends and family. And remember, the information we discussed is not to be substituted for medical advice. We would always advise you to seek help from a doctor or other relevant professional.